No man is an island, entire of itself, wrote John Donne in 1624. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. So we are all affected by the attack a fortnight ago on Westminster Bridge and at the gates of the Palace of Westminster, and we are all left bewildered and disturbed. But our sense of loss and diminishment is pale by comparison with that of the families of those who died. Ayesha Frade and Kurt Cochran and Leslie Rhodes on the bridge, and Police Constable Keith Palmer on duty at the gates of Parliament, and all those who were injured. Our hearts go out to them in sympathy and prayer and love. Anyone who's walked on Westminster Bridge or in Parliament Square in recent days has seen bunches of flowers in row upon row in the square and tied to the lampposts on the bridge. Candles have been lit and messages left, messages of love and support, messages too of determination and defiance in the face of evil and terror, messages from younger and older people, friends and former colleagues of those who were killed, and simple statements of courage. We are not afraid, and we stand together. In his devotions on emergent occasions, John Donne, a poet and dean of St. Paul's Cathedral, stressed that our companionship, our mutual involvement and dependency is not within our own nation alone. He mentioned Europe as a whole, but today we'd recognize our common citizenship more widely. London is a world city with visitors from every country on the planet and residents drawn from 270 nationalities and speaking 300 languages. Those killed and injured included Londoners, but also people from the United States of America, from Romania, France, South Korea, Italy, China, Australia, Greece, Portugal, Germany, Poland, and Ireland. What happened a fortnight ago leaves us bewildered. What could possibly motivate a man to hire a car and take it from Birmingham to Brighton to London and then drive it fast at people he'd never met, couldn't possibly know, against whom he had no personal grudge, no reason to hate them, and then run at the gates of the Palace of Westminster to cause another death? It seems likely that we shall never know. No doubt it was in imitation of the attacks in Nice and Berlin. But what on earth did he hope to achieve? Such random acts of aggression are nothing new. We're reminded of the death of Fusilier Lee Rigby on the 22nd of May, 2013, of the bomb attacks on the Underground and a London bus on the 7th of July, 2005, and of so much more here in earlier terror campaigns. And we're conscious of the determined and committed protection offered by the police and security services. Even so, every act of aggression leaves us disturbed and somehow diminished. Our first lesson from the prophecy of Jeremiah reminded us of the suffering of the people of Judah. It referred to Jerusalem being sacked by the Babylonians in the 6th century before Christ. The leading citizens were taken into exile to Babylon itself, about 50 miles south of modern Baghdad. The psalm tells of how they felt. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered you, O Jerusalem. Their suffering lasted 50 years and is reflected in the pain and grief of the diverse communities of Iraq and Syria in our own day, of the millions of people who've been dispossessed and live in poverty and fear, in refugee camps or in their own homes, but deprived of everything we're accustomed to rely on for our own health and welfare. We weep for the violence, for the hatred, for the loss of life, for all that divides and spoils our world. It was not meant to be like this. It should not be like this. Violence and hatred are not the answer. The best-known story Jesus told, which we know as the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we heard just now, has a powerful message for us. At first sight, it seems quite simple. A man's been mugged and left half dead by the roadside. Two people hurry past, leaving him to fend for himself, not apparently caring about him at all. One man, by contrast, stops and does whatever he can in first aid, pouring on oil and wine to cleanse the man's wounds and then bandaging them. He takes him to an inn and looks after him until the next day. Then he pays the innkeeper to care for him, promising to come back and cover the cost of any further help. That's all good in itself. But the man who cares for the one who's been mugged is not of the same faith or nationality as him. In fact, the two communities, the Jews and the Samaritans, have been enemies for centuries and despise and indeed hate one another. That enmity is no bar to the Samaritan doing a good deed for the Jew. Jesus praises the Good Samaritan. There's another twist to Jesus' story. The people who should have been the first responders, the ones who walked past quickly, were of the same faith and nationality as the injured man. But they did nothing. They were bound by their religious duties not to touch a dead body, and they feared the man was dead. Jesus condemns them for their lack of common decency. They have failed the test of compassion and love, the test of mercy, which Jesus rates far more highly than adherence to narrow religious conventions. In this and in other ways, during his ministry on earth, Jesus leads us to leap over the barriers that divide us, whatever they are, and to reach out in brotherly and sisterly love to those of other faiths and nationalities. We've called this a service of hope. And despite the horror of the random killing and hatred shown 2 weeks ago today, there is much for which we can be thankful and much to offer us hope. The day after the Westminster attacks, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, and other faith leaders condemned the violence and together stated that such aggressive and destructive acts against innocent victims were no part of Islam or of any of the world faiths. Later, a great concourse of people gathered at Trafalgar Square to witness a quiet demonstration of solidarity between the faith communities that make up our city and nation. The next day, the Archbishops of Canterbury and Westminster stood with the chief rabbi and leading Shia and Sunni clerics just outside the abbey to demonstrate the mutual respect of the three Abrahamic faiths and their solidarity as leaders. And 4 days later, 100 women, most of them Muslim, formed a human chain on Westminster Bridge. We stand together. Just as in this service, the world faiths are represented and will pray together, above all for the gift of hope. In a few moments, we shall light candles and make an act of commitment. Our prayer and commitment is to live together peacefully and respectfully, rich in our diversity, and to sing together in harmony.